up these gifts within your people as never before, O God. You sent them here, you called them here for such a time as this, and that they would be actively involved. The areas that they've desired for all these years of being a member in a congregation is where their gifts would be noticed, and that they would be firmly planted, and they would be able to walk in the power and the might of God, as what we have seen today, O Lord. I thank you for that, Father. And I pray, O God, that you'll continue this, raising up my brothers and sisters and empowering them by your Spirit to do all that you desire them to do, that the kingdom would not be only be established in their hearts alone, but upon the, inside all the hearts of the whole kingdom. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. And now I ask, Father, that your word would go forth as you have desired it to go forth, that your people would hear, and that they would rejoice in your word. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. This message is entitled Yeshua, the Fulfillment of Sheferat HaOmer, First Fruits. And I know we celebrated that in the spring, but the Lord said, no, I want you to go back to that and launch from that pad. So now let us turn to Leviticus chapter 23, verses 1 and 2. Or Vayikra 23, 1 and 2. Same book. And Adonai said to Moshe, tell the people of Israel the designated times of Adonai, which are to you are to proclaim as holy convocations, that's gatherings. They are my designated times. Now going down to verse 9. Adonai said to Moshe, tell the people of Israel, after you enter the land I am giving you and harvest its ripe crops, you're to bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the Kohen, that is the priest. And he is to wave the sheaf before Adonai so that you will be accepted. The Kohen, the priest, is to wave it on the day after Shabbat. On that day, you are to wave the sheaf. You are to offer a male lamb without defect in its first year as a burnt offering. Yeshua, our Messiah, is that one permanent burnt offering. The Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. It does not say that in the scripture there. That's my commentary. Now going on. Its grain offering is to be 1 gallon of fine flour mixed with olive oil, an offering made by fire to Adonai as a fragrant aroma. Its drink offering is to be of wine, 1 quart. You are not to eat bread or dried grain or fresh grain until the day you bring it, the offering from your God. This is to be a permanent regulation. Permanent. Throughout all your generations, no matter where you live. Our God had the foreknowledge to know that our people would be scattered to the four corners of the earth. Sheferat HaOmer, first fruits, means the counting of the sheaf. It reveals the earliest harvest that takes place in Israel, the barley harvest. Sheferat HaOmer is the most important festivals for believers in Yeshua. How many believers in Yeshua are here today? That is Jesus the Messiah. Amen. Let us continue. This is an important link of Sheferat HaOmer to the ministry of Messiah Yeshua. Rabbi Saul of Tarsus reveals to believers about the truth of the resurrection when he teaches the amazing connection of this biblical high holy day. Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I read earlier from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we'll be spending most of our time in this portion of Scripture today. And beginning of verse 20. But the fact is that Messiah has been raised from the dead. The first fruits. See, when we study the feasts of the Lord, they reveal Himself. He has come to fulfill all the feasts of the Lord. So let us continue now. For he is the first fruits of those who have died. For since death came through a man, also the resurrection of the dead has come through a man. For just as in the connection with Adam, all die, so in connection with Messiah, all will be made alive. But each in his own order. Messiah is the first fruits. Then those who belong to the Messiah at the time of his coming, we're going to be his first fruits also. We are the Lord's inheritance when we are raised from the dead. Then the culmination when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father. And after having put an end to every rulership, yes, to every authority and power, for he has to rule until he puts all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be done away with will be death. Not Hasatan, not the devil, not the Muslims, not any false religion, but death is his final enemy. For he will put everything in subjection under his feet. But when it says that everything has been subjected, obviously, the word does not include God, that is Abba Father, who himself is the one subjecting everything to the Messiah, who is Yeshua, Jesus the Christ. Now, when everything has been subjected to the Son, then he will be subjected himself to God, who subjected everything to him so that God may be everything in everyone. Think about that. God's going to be everything in us. Were it otherwise, what would the people accomplish who are immersed on behalf of the dead? If the dead are not actually raised, why are people immersed for them? For that matter, we ourselves, why do we keep facing danger hour by hour? Brothers, by the right to be proud, which Messiah Yeshua our Lord gives me, I solemnly tell you that I die every day. Are you dying every day? Amen. That's God's provision for us, that we die every day to our old carnal nature. If my fighting with wild beasts in Ephesus was done merely on human basis, what do I gain by it? If dead people are not raised, we might as well live by this saying, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Don't be fooled. Bad company ruins good character. Come to your senses, live sober, live righteously, and stop sinning. There are some people who lack the knowledge of God, and I say this to your shame. But someone will ask, in what manner are the dead raised? What sort of body will they have? And when I read in different translations, it's amazing that this word is there. Stupid. Ignorant, in some translations. When you sow a seed, it doesn't come alive unless it first dies. So for you and I to be raised up in Messiah, we must first die to our old carnal nature. And I know this is talking about physical death, but it's also talking about dying to our old carnal nature. Let's continue here. Say wheat or something else, but God gives it in the body for what he intended for it. And to each kind of seed, he gives its own body. Not all living matter is the same. Living matter. On the contrary, there is one kind for human beings, and another kind for living matter for animals, other for birds, and another for fish. Further, there are heavenly bodies, earthly bodies. But the beauty of the heavenly bodies is one thing, while the beauty of the earthly bodies is something else. The sun has one kind of beauty, and the moon another, the stars yet another. Indeed, each star has its own individual kind of beauty. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. When the body is sown, it decays. When it is raised, it cannot decay. When sown, it is without dignity. When raised, it will be beautiful. When sown, it is weak. When raised, it will be strong. When sown, it is an ordinary human body. But when raised, It will be the body controlled by the Spirit. How many here want to be their bodies controlled by the Spirit? I do. Amen. I don't want my carnal nature controlling me anymore. I'm sick and tired of it. So I have to die daily. So continuing. So did the Spirit come first, but ordinary human one, that is the body, the one from the Spirit comes afterwards. The first man is from the earth, made of dust. The second man is from heaven. That's speaking of Adam, our first father. And the other one is speaking of our elder brother, Yeshua, who came from heaven. People born of dust are like the man of dust. People born from heaven are like the man from heaven. Just as we have been born the image of the man of dust, so also we will bear the image of the man from heaven. See, there's a transformation going on here. Let me say this, brothers. Flesh and blood cannot share the kingdom of God. Do you hear that? Let's continue. Nor can something that decays share in what does not decay. Look, I will tell you a secret. Not all of us will die, but we will all be changed. It will take but a moment, a blink of an eye, at the final shofar. For the shofar will sound, and the dead will be raised to live forever. We too will be changed. For this material, which can decay, must be clothed with imperishability. This is which is mortal must be clothed with immortality. When that decays, puts this imperishability, and what is mortal puts on immortality, then this passage in the Tanakh will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and sin draws its power from the Torah. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. So, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, immovable always, doing the Lord's work as vigorously as you can, knowing that united with the Lord, your efforts are not in vain. And he shall truly reward us for everything that we have done in his name to give him all glory and honor and praise. The fact that Messiah Yeshua had been raised from the dead is the first fruits of those who have died. For since death came through a man, so the resurrection of the dead came through a man. Yeshua gave them this answer when they asked him, "The time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." This is out of John chapter 12, verses 23 and 24. "Yes, indeed, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it stays just a grain. But if it dies, it produces a big harvest." Who wants to be a seed that's going to produce 100 millionfold for the kingdom of God? Amen? Well, we must first die. This was spoken to his Jewish Talmudim, the disciples, as they came to celebrate Passover. Yohanan 12. 1, 20, and 32. 6 days before Pesach, Passover, Yeshua came to Bethany, where Eleazar, that is Lazarus, lived, the man Yeshua had raised from the dead. Among these who went up to worship at the festival of Pesach were some Greek-speaking Jews. What is the scripture to go forth to the good news? To the Jew first. And then also the nations. Continue in John chapter 12, verse 32. "As for me, when I am lifted up," this is Yeshua speaking, "from the earth, then I will draw everyone to myself." He said this to indicate what kind of death he would do, be on the execution stake. The resurrection of Messiah Yeshua from the dead is revealed in the wave of the offerings of first fruits. If you remember that celebration, you would see the rabbi, or in the case of Leviticus, he would take those two loaves of bread that were leavened bread, and he would take them, and he would go ahead, and he would offer them unto the Lord, symbolizing both the Jews and the Gentiles, one in Messiah. Now let us now focus closer to the resurrection of the believer and Messiah. The resurrection brings us to the quality of dimension of life that we've never lived before. It is not simply a return to existence as we know it. It is a lifting up higher, more free, more marvelous dimension of existence than we have ever known. Yeshua is the first one to be resurrected from the dead. Did not Lazarus die again? Yes. And those other individuals that the prophets had raised from the dead in the first covenant, they also died. It was the same Yeshua. He came in the same body, but he came back to a different level of life. So as Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, says that Yeshua's resurrection is the example of what ours is to be. We're going to have a brand new body. This carnal nature and this bones and this flesh, this sinew, one day is going to be glorified in the image and likeness of Messiah Yeshua. Where we can walk through walls, amen, just as Yeshua did after he rose from the dead. He suddenly appeared before the Talmudim. And all the doors were locked and all the windows were barred. And he was there in their presence. Continuing. Rav Shaul then goes on to argue that it is absolutely certain that this will happen. And this way he puts it, "For such by man came death, but by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. Death had passed upon our people because of the fall of Adam. So we all are part of the new creation." You're a brand new creature in Messiah. Once you become spiritually born again, the new people in Messiah Yeshua shall also participate in the resurrection of the dead. As Rav Shaul says, for it is in Adam that all have died. So also Messiah Yeshua shall all be made alive. Now he is talking about believers who have already fallen asleep in Messiah. This resurrection involves only those who are in Messiah Yeshua, being raised to eternal life. This will happen after the last judgment. Rav Shaul makes it clear in what when this will happen. He says at Yeshua's coming, when he descends upon the Mount of Olives and sets up his kingdom. This confirms with other sections of Scripture where Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, says that there will be some who never die. And that seems to be like a contradiction. But we must recognize that death is at work in all of us. I acknowledge that before you. Death is at work in me. But for the last generation, there will be some who will never die. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 17, Paul gives more clarity here. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and beginning at verse 13. If you happen to have the complete Jewish Bible, we're on page 1476. And verse 13, "Now, brothers, we want you to know the truth about those who have died. Otherwise, you might become sad the way other people are. The last 2 years, my daughter-in-law gave birth to dead children. This was the scripture I shared at both funerals. By the will and by the power and the decision of the Lord, they were taken immediately into his presence before they were born." Now, I could become angry and frustrated and say, "God, well, what about all my prayers? Why didn't you answer my prayer?" My God is high above my ways, and I trust him. I know this, that immediately when both those children died, their names were inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Book of Life. And I will see them one day. Their salvation is assured. So in that, I rejoice. And I shared that with the grieving, my grieving daughter-in-law, my son, and all the other relatives that were there. Do we believe what this book says? Or is it like Alan said earlier, just some nice little phrases for us to kind of build up ourselves? Do we really believe this word? Let's continue here. "I don't want you to be sad as other people do who have nothing to hope for. For since we believe that Yeshua died and rose again, we also believe in the same way that God, through Yeshua, will take with him those who have died. When we say this, we base it on the Lord's own word, his promise. We who remain alive when the Lord comes will certainly not take precedence, will not go before over those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a rousing cry, with a call from one of the ruling angels, with God's shofar. We've heard some great shofar blasts here today. But I tell you this, when God blew his shofar, when Moshe was receiving those Ten Commandments, it shook the mountain and all the land around there. We're waiting to hear that shofar, are we not? Amen. Let's continue. Those who died united with the Messiah will be the first to rise. Then we who are left, still alive, will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the air. And thus, we will always be with the Lord. So encourage one another with these words. And now when I was preparing this message, the image of those Christian believers, Egyptians, men in their orange or red, I'm colorblind, robes, those jumpsuits that were walking out there, and the men of ISIS were following behind them, and there was peace that passes all understanding was on their hearts and minds, and they knelt down. They weren't rebuking the Lord and saying, Lord, why are you forsaking me now? But they knelt down and they received their high calling, which was ordained by God, by the Holy Spirit, spoke to them that day as they knelt down before their enemy and offered their lives as a holy living sacrifice. They were chosen, ordained by God, to be numbered among the martyrs. And I know there aren't many preachers or associate rabbis like myself who would ever speak so strongly about this. If you read the book of Revelation, it says that there are those that are beneath the throne where Yeshua sits. Okay? And they cry out day and night, O Lord, when is the time? When is the time? And he says, be silent and be at peace, for your numbers have not been fulfilled yet. And some of us say, well, that's really a negative word, Brother Frank. No, it says this, that those are the individuals from every generation since Messiah was revealed to our mother and father, Adam and Eve. I'm going to trip over this stuff here pretty quick, but that's all right. From that time forward, there has been a list the Lord has ordained. And it says that they will follow him, the Lamb that was slain, the Lamb of God. They will follow him throughout all heaven. And they will be near and dear to him. Because they did not love their lives of itself, but they're willing to lay down their lives, literally. And so when I saw those men's faces, and I didn't see that whole video, but when I saw those men's faces, it already happened. But the Lord just spoke to my heart and said, see the peace that I give? When I empower and equip you, and I say this to you, I know this, there are people in this congregation here that will be numbered among the martyrs. But God gives you the grace and the peace to fulfill his will. Because I tell you this, I believe that some of those men that put those men to death, through the testimony of these men simply bowing down, because they serve a God, Allah, that's a God of war, and is not a God of love. And the testimony of these men willing to kneel down and give their lives to the God that they love and not deny him is a lasting testimony. And I know that the Holy Spirit will be speaking to these men of ISIS. He'll be speaking to them directly and convicting them of what they've done. And I believe this in the depth of my heart. Just as we saw in the scripture that there are Roman centurions and other men that put innocent people to death, they were convicted. And the Holy Spirit was able to reach them. And I believe this, that there will be members of that troop that did evil that day that will be standing in heaven that have repented of their sins. That's what God is calling his holy remnant to do. To be willing to die to everything and put the kingdom first in all these areas. That's what the Lord is looking for. Do you love him to the point of laying down your life for him? The lover of your heart and soul. That's what the Lord's asking his body to do. And I tell you this, as a young believer, I thought, oh yeah, definitely, I could be a martyr. I want to do that, Lord. But the Lord rebuked me as a young believer and said, you have to know me and be willing to die daily if that's what you want to do for me. And I will anoint you to do that. Because when I hear about those precious children in the Middle East who have been crucified and beheaded, and these are just wee little babes that are willing to give their lives as a holy martyr to the Lord. The Lord says, stop preaching right now and pray right now for the persecuted. And I want you to join in here with me to start praying for the persecuted, our brothers and sisters who happen to be Christians. They're no way least in the kingdom. Amen. Father, we did not lift up those, Father, right now. Our brothers and sisters who are refugees, so Lord. We may never meet them here on earth. And they've been kicked out of Syria and all these other nations. And Father, they're being persecuted. They're being hunted down. They've lost their homes. They've lost everything. And I pray right now, oh God, that you would allow them to be set free, oh God. These fathers who are just, they're crying out to you right now and they say, I want to provide for my wife and my children. And my daughter or my son is missing right now. Because these evil men have stolen them. Some of these girls and women have been now enslaved into prostitution for these men of ISIS, who believe in the depths of their heart that they're serving the one true God, Allah. Father, I pray right now you'd remove the veil of deception from their eyes, that they would see what they're truly doing. Oh God, I thank you, Father, for the ministries who are now involved in this. And some of those ministries we'll never hear about and from. But Lord, I pray that the body of the Messiah would arise and begin to pray for the persecuted brothers and sisters who are suffering in both the Middle East and not only the Middle East, throughout the whole earth. Father, we lift up our sister, Mrs. Davis, who's a clerk that's willing to stand and say, this is what God's word says. I'm willing to go to jail. I'm willing to face all this persecution. And I will not deny the Lord. I pray right now, oh God, that you would comfort her at this time. Oh Lord God. And Father, the men and women who are in ministry, who are now right at that threshold, that dividing line, they will lose their whole ministry. They will lose their finances and the support of their congregation if they will obey your word. Father, I pray that you would strengthen them to make the right decision, to honor your word above all things, Almighty God. That, Father, we are entering into these last tribulation days. That you will sustain us, you will equip us, O God. That we would do everything that is honorable in your sight. That we would not put on any type of religious face or actions anymore. Will we truly be broken before you? Lord, I know as we enter into these days of awe, that we would study those scriptures. And we'd ask the Holy Spirit would open up our hearts and minds as never before. That we would truly put forth fruits of repentance, O God, as never before. Father, we want to know you in a real way as never before. Through your Son, Yeshua, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, O God. Father, I think that you're calling us out to obey your word as never before. And may we be willing to sacrifice everything, O God. Our reputations, our finances, everything, that your kingdom would go forth, O God. Father, may we acknowledge, just as Rav Shaul did in that passage of Scripture there, in 1 Corinthians 15, that he died daily. Father, give us the understanding of what that means, and may we walk therein, that your name would be proclaimed, that your kingdom would be established. And Father, I pray right now for the nations who are now opening up to the Christian Orthodox, those Eastern countries, former the Soviet Union, and those other nations, Father, who are now beginning to open up their doors, that you'd move upon the governors and the rulers of those nations to open up the door to the persecuted Orthodox Christians, Father. And those, Father, who are from the Catholic and Protestant and the multiple other Christian denominations who have been chased, they're refugees in these other places. May America and Europe, Central and South America, and even Africa open up the doors of refuge to them, O Father. Father, we pray for them, O God, right now. Meet our need by helping our brothers and sisters in Messiah. Father, I pray right now that those girls and those women who have been enslaved into sex areas, Father, that they would be set free. That you bring conviction of the Holy Spirit on the guards that are there. And that they would fall before the holy angels of God. And they would allow these women and boys and young men and girls to leave these places. And that you'd guide and lead them by the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. And they'd go to a place of safety. And that, Father, the brothers and sisters who know you, both Messianic believers and Christian believers, would come across their paths and be able to help them, Father. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Patrick, if you will just go ahead and close the service. Thank you.